Podcast 21, Take Up Your Cross. The Gospel for today's podcast is Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. There is a story about a young man who wanted to dedicate his life to God. He got a piece of paper and made a list of all the things he would do for God. He wrote down the things he would give up, the places he was willing to go to minister, and the areas of ministry he would enter. He was excited. He took that list to the church and put it on the altar. He thought he would feel joy, but instead he felt empty. So he went home and he started adding to his list. He wrote down more things he would do and wouldn't do. He took the longer list and put it on the altar, but still he felt nothing. So he went to a wise old pastor and told him about the situation and asked what he should do. The pastor said, "Take a blank sheet of paper, sign your name at the bottom, put that on the altar." The young man did, and then peace came to his heart. When we commit ourselves to be followers of Jesus Christ, we write a blank check to God. We hand it over and trust God to do what is best for us. And this is true for both us personally and us as a community of faith. We literally don't know where we will be at the end of each day of our lives, let alone at the end of 2020. Will God call some of us to another job or a different place to live? Will the childcare buildings be sold by the end of the year? Will any of us get sick, maybe even with a terminal illness? Whatever happens, we can be sure that God is there with us as a parish and as individuals, and He can be trusted. This is such a hard lesson to learn. I find it hard. But above all the circumstances of our life, this should be the bedrock our life is founded on. God can be trusted. But the intention to follow Jesus can be a costly one. Excuse me. Part of that cost could be suffering or even dying for our faith. When Peter rebukes Jesus for telling them about his suffering and death in the near future, it could be interpreted that Peter is concerned for Jesus' well-being and also concerned maybe for the risks to other disciples following him. So there might be an element of both those reasons behind Peter's rebuke. But the strength of Jesus' reaction, calling Peter Satan, indicates there is something more driving Peter's plea. What Peter is asking Jesus to do is in alignment with one of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. Peter wants Jesus to be the Messiah King and to establish an earthly kingdom and bypass the cross and suffering involved in redeeming mankind. Peter is telling Jesus to turn away from the cross and to be the fulfillment of the Jewish dream of an independent homeland, free from Roman tyranny, free to worship the God Yahweh without foreign interference. What Peter and the rest of the disciples want is this Jewish homeland. To support this view, note that Peter and the disciples keep on wanting this dream of an independent Israel, even after Jesus is resurrected. In Acts 1 verse 6, the disciples say to Jesus, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" I believe this is why Jesus rejects Peter's statement so vehemently, because Peter has got the purpose of Jesus' mission in the world almost completely wrong, and Peter is echoing the devil's temptation that was presented to Jesus at the start of his ministry. Jesus' response in this section of Matthew's Gospel is all about the cost of being a disciple. In verses 24 and 25, he says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Being a disciple means the relationship with Jesus takes first place, even above saving your own life. Many martyrs through the ages have made that ultimate sacrifice. and laid down their lives rather than surrender their faith. And sadly, this is still happening today. Barnabas, the fund that supports persecuted churches, reports a recent story from India concerning a 14-year-old boy, Samaru Matkami, who as a Christian faced hostility and violence from Hindu extremists in his village in the Odisha state in India. Samaru shared the gospel openly with other young people and children in the village that he lived in. Samaru's father was a convert to Christianity and a church elder, and he received death threats. However, Samaru was the one who was abducted and murdered on June the 4th this year, with his body being discovered 2 days later. In India today, giving your life can still be the price of following Jesus. So back to the gospel, you can see from this short lecture to his disciples that Jesus is not exactly very encouraging for people who want to follow him. He is calling them to count the cost of being a disciple. All the time he is spelling out for his disciples the high demands that discipleship and putting the kingdom of God first involves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor and theologian who was hanged by the Nazis during World War II. He was executed for his part in a plot to assassinate Hitler. And Bonhoeffer coined the phrase, cheap grace. And this is what he said. Cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. Cheap grace is the deadly enemy of the church. We are fighting today for costly grace. Now, of course, we should welcome and be friendly to all those who come through our church doors and to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. But as preachers of the gospel and as disciples who follow Jesus, do we need to make it clear sometimes what the cost of discipleship is? Do we, as church members, know ourselves what the cost of discipleship is? And how do we seek to live out that costly life? I sometimes think the church in the affluent West, which includes New Zealand, has lost a sense of the cost of discipleship. Jesus said in this passage in Matthew's gospel, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Today we tend to diminish this, I think. We think of this figuratively or in a way that is not particularly life-threatening. We think our cross is the grumpy person at work I have to be nice to each day, or maybe the hay fever I'm experiencing at the moment. But remember, for people of Jesus' day, carrying your cross only meant one thing, that you had been condemned to death and were being executed in a horrible and shameful way by the Roman authorities. And yet, Jesus tells his disciples to carry their cross. So one of the challenges for us in our day and age is being willing to lay down our lives for Jesus. Being a disciple means the relationship with Jesus takes first place, even above saving our own lives. And for each of us, this may mean different things. All of us have to talk to the Lord about what he wants us to do to be disciples and put him first. Let's pray to be open to God and listening attentively for what he has to say to us about what putting him first means for us.